1008 from Reach Out 74 at Montreat, North Carolina. The speaker is Bob Mumford.
I've never done it with more than 300, and that was difficult. But I want the first night we talked about understanding the time, and we tried to orient you to the fact that it was the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of the Tabernacles or the Booths are beginning to be fulfilled. People are coming with their branches, and that's what we are here tonight. As they come with their branches to erect the booth, we find that it's there that God pours out His Spirit in a way that He does not do it when we are in our own individual tribe. Last night, we spent the time trying to share with you the steps towards fullness. And I tried to challenge you, every one of you, to expand your thinking in such a way as to believe. This is what I hoped I left with you last night, was that you would believe what God is going to do in the last days. He is going to do it through His body, which is the church. I do not mean a building. I do not mean an institution. If your child is acting up, would you please take him to the room upstairs where there is one of the young people said, Brother Mumford, we watched you on short circuit television last night. But here's what's happening. If the church could ever get a vision, now I don't mean a false vision or false hope. What we're trying to do is reclaim. We're trying to get an intellectual, spiritual grasp on this. And you have to hear me. The world has not reckoned with the church of Jesus Christ yet. When I use the term body of Christ, I mean by that living stones from every denomination. There are people in every denomination of which I am aware, and I know most of them, ministered in most of them. There are people in those churches, some who know the Lord and some who do not. When I speak of the body of Christ, I speak of the coming together of the redeemed children of God who know a born-again experience, if not the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There is this gathering going on. This is an evidence of it. In fact, I am rather overwhelmed that as many of you stayed for a communion of our Lord's Supper as did. And what this tells me is that more and more we are beginning to experience the communion of the saints, the joys of being together, the refusal of wanting to leave, just the joy of being together as brothers and sisters and worshiping and enjoying each other and hearing the word read until understanding comes. And then we weep because we realize how badly we've been cheated, how we have been robbed, how the canker worm and the palmer worm have eaten at the inheritance of the saints until we live as poverty stricken, oppressed and depressed people, but now the joy is returning. And there's a sound in the land and the trumpet goes forth. And as we touch this New Testament communion tonight. He said, Brother Bob, we don't serve communion like that in our church. That's why we're not in your church. Now you're going to have to pay strict attention and obey me. When I tell you what to do, you're going to have to do it and cooperate and flow together. And if I am not mistaken, the Lord Jesus is going to reveal himself to us as tonight we talk about understanding the body. Now, this has been a personal search of mine. I love the body of Christ. I believe the body of Christ to be the choice people on the face of the earth. God has some bad kids. He has some ornery kids. He has some weird kids, but there is. And I'm trying to learn to flow with them and to love them without trying to change them. Now the word of the Lord that's going forth in the body of Christ now, and you must hear, is this. Different, but not wrong. Different, but not wrong. People that worship differently than we. People who see it differently than we. People who understand the Lord's Supper differently than we. The strange thing to me, and it grieves me as I've been with my Catholic brothers and sisters. I've been in Catholic meetings, just came from St. Paul at the Catholic Charismatic Regional. Between 5,500 and 6,000 Roman Catholics. Singing in the Spirit, worshiping, prophesying. The bishop sitting right here of the St. Paul Diocese. Right here. And I started to preach, and I don't think he ever saw anything in captivity like me. In about 10 minutes, I was going at it just Mumford style, romping, stomping, tearing up the place, and they're clapping and screaming and whistling, and he's looking at his Catholics, you know. Finally, in a few minutes, he decides he might as well flow with it. And in a little while, they're dancing in the Spirit. Whole place is dancing, glorifying God. One nun, you've heard this, that it's still funny. He says, the nun was dancing in the Spirit and someone said she learned how to kick the habit. They're dancing up, they go, everybody's dancing on the platform, all dancing in the Spirit, and they all dance up to the bishop and turn around. Nobody had the courage to grab him by the arm and dance with him. But I thought, here's 5,500, 6,000 Catholics. The Dallas Catholic Regional will be 10 to 12,000. 32,000 plus at Notre Dame this year. Priests, nuns, bishops, cardinals, archbishops, Catholic lay leader. And I said, oh God, what are you doing? The General Assembly will never be the same. After what they did to it. But I'm saying, Lord Jesus, you've got to expand our concept. What is the body of Christ? is the body of Christ? How do I find it? How do I get related to it? I could tell you what is happening. I don't want to spend my time tonight doing that. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Our theme tonight is understanding the body. I will try to give it to you as simply but as carefully as I know how. And we're going to move into a New Testament love feast, a breaking of the bread and the serving of the cup, approximating New Testament style. It is not fully, but it's as close as we can do it tonight. Luke 22, verse 1. Luke chapter 22 and verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Chapter 22, verse 15. And he said unto them, with great desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and said, take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Now before I read on, let me tell you what I think is involved in those four verses. I think what is involved is this is the actual point in history when the Old Testament was done away and the New Testament was instituted. This is the actual point in history when that happened. Watch it. And, verse 19, he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And likewise also the cup after supper. So there was a cup before supper and a cup after supper. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. The key word is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also strife among them. Strife. Betrayal and strife right at the Lord's table. Of course, we don't have that anymore. Now, the puzzling thing to me is this. The Lord's Supper, which was given to us as a people to bring us to unity, has divided us as much as anything. The priest stood before me with tears running down his face, and he said, Brother Bob, I cannot serve you the cup or the bread. Because I'm under orders. I said, I understand that. He wept and I wept. And the other brothers wept. Because here yet remains the great evidence of division. But that's only one. There are many, many other divisions in the body of Christ. Deep, lasting scars. Doctrinal divisions. Divisions of race, divisions of nationality, divisions of the pride of life, station and education and social status and reputation and popularity and all of the other foolish things I pray tonight as we break this bread that I can show you how those things can be broken in our own lives that we might learn to deserve the body of Christ. Betrayal and strife, both of which are for personal advantage. Me and mine, us and ours, our church, my thing, our doctrine, my thing, my church, our, we've all, I've been a Lutheran since I was a child. My granddaddy was a Lutheran. Well, that's all right. But I hope we're learning something, that we're a Christian first and a Lutheran second. If that threatens you, you need help. Kingdom people first. You say, are you saying doctrine doesn't make any difference? Never. Doctrine is very important. Let the theologians battle that out. At the Lord's table. First Corinthians chapter 10. I got to keep this short. The temptation to say more than I should is very, very prevalent. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 14. Now we need a Bible in front of you. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Verse 17 is the key to the communion. For we, being many, are one loaf. And one body. For we are all partakers of that one loaf. Let me come out here and get a loaf. This is the symbol of the body of Christ. I wish that I had one loaf to feed 3,000 people. Wouldn't that be a loaf? But I couldn't get it on Piedmont with me. But look now, you are one loaf. Now, what is going to happen tonight before we go home is this. Every one of us are going to have within us some of the same loaf. Symbolizing what? One body. One Lord, one faith, one hope, one baptism. I looked at the loaf. I said, Lord Jesus, as we come tonight, won't you help me somehow to simply say to God's people, you are one loaf, members one of another. When I break this bread in a little while, as I break it to share it with all of you, we are going to understand something of the nature of the body of Christ. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has what? All right, that's important. The body is one and has many members. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is, the Greek says, ho Christos, the Christ. Well, the Greek student knows what that means. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, black or white, rich or poor, Presbyterian or Lutheran, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 14. Clear teaching, for the body is not one member, but what? Many. Now, the beautiful thing about breaking bread tonight is this. We are a booth. We're not a denomination. We're not trying to get you to belong to anything. We just want to enjoy you. I want to come together with you. And I thought, Lord, how can I break bread with 3,000 people I don't know? Lord said, it'll be all right. By the time you get to Saturday night, only the real ones will stick it out. I was amazed when I came in here. I thought we would have half a loaf. It's a good thing we got enough bread by faith, or I would have to multiply it. First Corinthians 11, 17. Now we're putting into context. We have to move along. First Corinthians 11, 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I don't praise you. He did in verse 1. But he said, when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. Have any of you ever gone to church and wished you'd have stayed home? Don't tell anybody about that. But there are times when we come together and it was worse than if we would have started. It would have been better to stood in bed. But look at verse 18. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe part of it. He was a smart apostle. Half the things they say about me are not true. Verse 19. For there must be heresy or division or problems. There has to be those things. In order that those who have the real stuff can be made manifest. It doesn't take very long to find out who's got the real thing. Just bring in some division or problems, and then you'll see the selfish interest and the strife and the betrayal. You see them sell each other down the river for 30 pieces of silver. Some for a bowl of pottage, and others that they could be the piano player. I played this piano. Verse 20, when you come together into one place, you're not eating the Lord's Supper. You're at a attitude, the things that you're doing, you might have bread and wine, but you're not taking the Lord's Supper. For in eating, verse 21, in eating everyone takes before the other his own supper. One is hungry and the other is drunk. That must have been difficult on orange juice, on grape juice. Now we did it. We broke true tradition tonight. We didn't cover the table. Brother said, should we cover the table? I said, no, let's just wreck it up. Now, we have grape juice. Don't panic. But I was tempted to serve you the real thing. What? Don't you have houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God? Shame them that don't have anything. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? I don't praise you, because I want you to understand something. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, the key word, betrayal, the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Every time you do this, I want you to remember me. And Jesus said, the idea is, as you remember the Lord and remember his body, you cannot move in the realms of self-interest and betrayal. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. Say it with me. The future is already guaranteed. He's coming. He told me he was coming. He said, you break the bread and stay related to your brothers till I come. I said, okay. If you don't believe that, sneak a look in the back of the book and you find out we're on the winning side. A cheering section over there. Now watch, we're reading now. Till he come. I have that underlined in my Bible. Till he come. I'm going to break this bread and drink this wine till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood and the body and the blood. Now we get into some hairy doctrine. Let a man examine each other. Excuse me, that's the Schofield translation. I was teaching this one time in a classroom situation, and the Spirit of the Lord came in heavy, and I was talking about examining ourselves, and prophecy came, examine yourself. We were all there weeping and repenting before the Lord. And another prophecy came, and the prophecy said, thus saith the Lord, examine yourself, not each other. Then you should have heard them cry. Brother, we had everybody. Oh, man, John really needed this. Brother Jim Jackson, if there's anything he needs that. Lord said, don't do that. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the body. All your new manuscripts and translation drops the word Lord. Now it doesn't matter whether it's in there or not. Let me go over this. He that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself, not understanding the Lord's body. Now, I come up in Pentecostal tradition. The Lord's Supper is very important in our tradition. Since then, I went to an Episcopal seminary. And I could tell you experiences I had in learning to take the Lord's Supper in the varying communion. But what was happening was this. In our tradition, we used to get real serious and real weepy and real cry, and they'd play real tearjerker songs on the piano. And we'd all get real spiritual and try to see Jesus hanging up on the cross. We could see him there with the crown of thorns and his bleed. We're trying to discern the Lord's body. Oh, today. What? It's not that body. It's this one. Read on. Now, I really like to take communion because it makes me glad to think I'm sad. Now, there is that. That's all over the church. There's all that kind of thing that sad makes you glad to think you're sad and you feel real melancholic and then after you feel real melancholic, you think you repented. Now, you're just on an emotional kick. Now, what? What does it mean to eat and drink unworthily? It means when you take this bread and take this cup, watch what it says. I can't read that next one. I'll have to explain it to you. It's this. I take this bread in my hand, and I take this cup, and I say to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I understand your body. He said, you do? Yeah, where is it? Lord said, next to me. My wife is one member of your body, and Ron Phillips is another. Lord said, now you're understanding. Do you know why that's so important? Because 1 Corinthians 12 teaches us that the Lord gives to the body the gifts and ministries of the Spirit. And if I don't understand the body, then when I need ministry, I don't know where to get it. One thing I know, I never have a black man pray for me. Oh, the Lord said, is that right? Then I get sick with a kidney stone. And I pray, rebuke the devil, fast 3 days, read 400 chapters. I said, oh, Lord, send me somebody to pray for me. In comes my black brother. I said, Lord, you wouldn't. He said, I did. It was a black sister that prayed me through. Lord said, if you don't understand the body, and you don't understand how the body functions, and you take this bread, and you drink this cup, and you say to everybody, I understand the body, and then when the Lord sends you a little lady to minister to you, or a Catholic priest, or someone, that you don't receive them, he says, for this cause, many are weak, many sick, and many die prematurely. Dan and Viola Malachuk are here. When the Lord was first working this in us, they've got a little Polish lady in their fellowship. She was then about 80 years old, and I came to their church as God's man of faith and power. I was an evangelist then. And I got up the first night and bombed out. Brother, the words dribbled off my chin, dripped on the pulpit. Now I was feeling miserable. So I'm going to the back of the church to greet the people. That was before I got delivered from that. And on the way back, the church is starting to empty, and here's this church full of people, and this little Polish lady, I'm going back the aisle real fast like this, and the little Polish lady sticks her hand out like this and grabs me. And she said, I brought a mom. I said, yes. She said, can I pray for you? I said, excuse me, lady, I am the evangelist. I'm God's man of faith and power. I come to pray for you. I didn't say any of that. You know why? Because the Lord had just drained my plug. So I think you were with me. I don't know if you were in the aisle with me. I think you were. But I stood there and I thought, well, you've been preaching this body stuff. Now's the time to practice it. So I knelt down in the pew in front of her. And she was shaking all over because she didn't have the courage to do what the Lord told her to do. She was trembling all over. And finally she gets up enough courage and she lays her hands on my head like this and they're shaking all over. And the Holy Ghost hit me in the roots of my hair and went down to my toenails. And I trembled under the power of God. And then she said, thank you, Brother Mumford. I said, thank you. You see, that if I didn't understand the body of Christ, I could have gone without my strength. Who had my strength? The little Polish lady. First of all, I didn't appreciate it being a lady. I'm just kidding. But you see, here we are. Now, Paul, what was happening in the church at Corinth was division. And Paul says, you're coming together
and you don't understand the Lord's Supper, and you all shook up and fussed up at each other, and he said, you're not taking the Lord's Supper. If you're going to take the Lord's Supper, you have to understand that the poor brothers are part of the body of Christ. You have to understand that blacks and whites and rich and poor and bond and free and intellectual and non-intellectual all make up one body. When I take this bread in my hand, I said, Lord Jesus, I understand your body. And if you understand it, don't refuse the janitor to pray for you on the way out of the meeting. I said, yes, sir, I understand that. Follow now. For this cause, what cause? Come on. Not understanding the body, many are weak, many are sick, and many die prematurely. Church, ministries like Catherine's have got to be replaced by the functioning of the body of Christ. She knows that. I'm not saying anything that she hasn't already said. It's the body. Healing is in the body of Christ. But we look to personalities and people and things and said, if I could only. I thought, oh, if you understood the body of Christ, healing is sitting next to you. Verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Lord said, wise up. Understand the body. If you understand the body, then the Lord won't take you through weak and sick and premature death. Learn to receive from your husband. Learn to receive from your wife. Learn to receive from your brothers and sisters in the Lord. I was laying on the couch one day, sick as a dog, had the flu. Laying there, my boy come in, and my daughter, and she come over, and they said, what's the matter, Dad? I said, I'm sick. They're just small. And I said, I really got the flu. They come over, laid hands on me, said, Lord Jesus, heal our daddy. Okay, Dad, you can get up now. Man, you talk about faith, brother. I got up and went to my bed. Verse 33, or verse 32, when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. I can't get into all that, but it's all involved with verse 30. Verse 33, and I want you to underline this. Wherefore, my brethren and sistren, when ye come together to eat, what does it say? Tarry one for another. That means when we start waiting on each other, it means we're beginning to understand the body of Christ. Now, what we're going to do is break this bread, and we're going to give everybody a fairly good-sized piece.
This is the end of side one.